Isles. Peruse, peruse. As I peruse the aisles of life, I can't help but notice the devastation. As I look up and notice lives, I see dismantled dreams, I see shattered lives. Look at that young man with a loud laugh on the outside. Look closer and the eyes are emptied of passion. He's consumed by the drug of this world, not just the one that messes with your mind, but also the one I call self-love, that one that steals the very essence of humanity. What is the price you've had to pay, I wonder, old lady? You look wasted by the griefs of life you have endured. I know you lost the husband of your youth and you thought to take another chance and love again. But then he found another love, so once again you lost. You've watched in pain as the memories of what had been faded. I can almost hear you cry and almost feel your heart want to stop as you long for days gone by. I can't help but feel for you, little man. I saw her grab your arm and yell straight in your face. I wondered, could she be your mommy? I think she is. But you just wanted that toy and she forgot that she too was once like you. Wanting, wanting, wanting. I see you, woman, holding that baby. You haven't slept for days, have you? I think you try to have a shower this morning before coming this way to maybe catch the day, before it so slips out of reach like yesterday. You wish you had mom here to take over, but she's not here, is she? If she could, then she would. I ask myself, why must you give up on life, young lady? Why must you forget that at some point you knew that you are a princess deserving respect, dignity, love, and affection. I think you're tired. You told me that the day you decided you would end it all. Remember when you closed that door and tried that thing? You tried to end it all and you failed. Peruse. I peruse the aisles of life.
Good morning, church. How are you? Good. I'm Pastor Nami. For anyone who doesn't know me, it's always good to be in church on a Sunday. I think there's a few new faces, so make sure we say hello. You may not be able to relate to any one of those people in those aisles, but I bet you know someone who does or is there themselves. So we're in our second week of our series on the cross. So today I'm talking about the cross, exchanging brokenness for wholeness. And the aim of today is to really get an understanding of how the cross transforms our brokenness into wholeness. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 to 17 from the NIV. It says, "When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." You know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was separation from the perfect will of God for humanity. It was at that point that brokenness came into the world and the beginning of the world of broken pieces. We live in a world of broken pieces. So what exactly is brokenness? The dictionary defines it as this: a condition in which something is badly damaged and unable to continue or work correctly. When we're badly damaged, our brokenness is seen in our pain, in our sufferings. It's seen in our trauma responses, our grief, our unresolved conflicts. So we're unable to actually function the way we were designed to function, as quite often we relate to God and people through the lens of that pain, that suffering, and that trauma. As a Christian, brokenness is evidenced by our inability to see ourselves or even walk in the identity of a son or a daughter, our inability to identify or use our gifts or talents, our inability to have a healthy relationship with God or other people, an inability to have dominion over the areas that God has said we would have dominion over. Our inability to be fruitful and multiply. Our inability to rely on the person of the Holy Spirit who was sent to be our helper for our brokenness. But the thing is, God has a desire to heal and bring peace, to take away our transgressions and our iniquities. In fact, he already did that through Christ. despite our brokenness, we must understand that the cross came to transform that brokenness, because only the cross could have done that. And so there is power in the cross. There is power. The cross has transformational power, the ability to cause a major, a significant, life-changing shift in any situation. You see, when something is powerful, like the cross, it can ignite, it can fuel, it brings momentum where there is stagnation. It brings a shift. It's a game changer because it's out of the ordinary. It's a heavyweight. It's captivating. So back to the scripture that was referenced when I started. Isaiah 53 verse 4 to 5 says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Three things happened at the cross. One, at the cross, there was definitely an exchange. Number two, at the cross, there was fulfillment of an assignment that had been long prophesied. Christ's assignment. Number three, at the cross, these benefits that were brought to us for the taking. Those are the facts about the cross. Therefore, our position in God is that Christ was punished and we gained forgiveness in exchange. Our position in God is that Christ was punished and we gained peace in exchange. Our position in God is that Christ was punished and we gained healing in exchange. Forgiveness, peace, healing. We should therefore, by faith, be living in freedom and wholeness. But many of us are not. So what does that actually mean to live in freedom and wholeness? What is wholeness? Wholeness is defined as the quality of being or feeling complete and not divided or damaged. To further explore this, I'd like to look at the life of one man who lived in brokenness for a big chunk of his life. Until, of course, Jesus Christ came into his life and brought wholeness to him. I want to read from John chapter 5, verse 5 to 9, and I'm reading from the King James Version. And the reason I'm doing that is because I like the fact that they use the word whole in there. It fits in. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there. Now, whenever we hear something in the Bible that says a certain man or a certain woman, we've not been given a name. So can we just imagine that you are that certain person? Try put yourself in that place. A certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Some versions say, Do you want to be made well? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Some key points I want to highlight from this. There were many who were waiting for the moving of the water by the angel. Jesus always comes to where the many are gathered, waiting for the move of God. He makes himself available to anyone who is willing to have him. This morning, we are many that are gathered. Jesus makes himself available to us. He even says, where two or more are gathered, I shall be there among you. So we can work out that he is here. At a specific time or season, the angel would come and he would do something to the water. And then the people could step in and access the healing. With Jesus, you access the healing power now by faith. No need to wait for an angel because we have direct access to the healing because of the work of the cross. It says the first to enter the pool after it had been troubled would get the healing. With Jesus, you don't miss out because you were too slow. I think I've shared this story before. I'll share it again. When I was in high school, when it was lunchtime, Wednesday in particular was chicken and rice day. Now, there were many students who didn't go to the hall for lunch the other days of the week. They would go to the shopping mall because we were next to the shopping mall. But on Wednesday, the hall was full because people really liked chicken and rice. I always missed out. And that is because the conditions of successfully navigating that situations, the man-made conditions, relied on skill, strength, speed. And I didn't know how to do all those things. I didn't know how to be rough, how to be pushy, how to be loud, aggressive, how to fight. I was too polite and too scared to be physically hurt by those kids or be perceived as greedy. So I missed out. I would say, excuse me, excuse me. There was no excuse me from all those boys especially. They just pushed through, grabbed, and quite often I was left with a plate with a few spoonfuls of rice. And that's what I would walk away with. It reminds me of the story Pastor Stephen was sharing last week about the loaves of bread. And how they would gather, they would be at the front of the line, they would get the bread, and then they'll sit back and laugh at the people who had not managed to get the loaves of bread. I probably would have been one of those people that he would be laughing at. So I always missed out. And I wonder if you can relate. I wonder if you've had situations where you've missed out because you were not fast enough. Or you felt you were not smart enough, or you didn't have enough resources. But not so with Jesus. His strategy is different. It relies on something else that has nothing to do with our abilities, our capabilities. So you don't have to miss out. You just have to respond to him. So how did Jesus bring wholeness to this man who for 38 years missed out for lack of speed and skill and lived in brokenness? See, Jesus steps in and asks him a question. He asks him whether he wants to be made whole. See, some people will take offense to that because they'll be thinking, isn't it obvious that I am helpless and in need of healing? Strange question to ask someone who's been laying here for so long. But I think, as usual, Jesus was not asking because he didn't know the answer or he wanted the answer for himself. I believe instead what he was doing was trying to get the man to realize something. That his desire, his hunger for healing was connected to his ability to access that healing. You see, the man responds by highlighting his limitations, his barriers to accessing the healing. He's saying, I'm hungry for the healing, but access is blocked by my environment, by the hunger of those around me, the speed of those around me. The man points out that others seem to beat him to it, and he always loses out. He's bumped out of the line. That's what he's highlighting. That's what his response is to the question of, do you want to be made whole? He doesn't say, yes, I want to be made whole. He instead goes straight to giving his limitations. Jesus asked him if he wanted to get well because he recognized that as much as he was hungry for healing, he was equally holding on to his limitations. You cannot be hungry for change and at the same time be convinced or have faith in your bondage. I'll say that again. You cannot be hungry for change and at the same time be convinced or have faith in your bondage. Some of us have more faith in our bondage than in what God can do. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Another way of putting that is, when we have faith, we please God. Believing requires that our faith ears are unblocked and that when we peel off layers, we have to peel off layers of doubt, layers of old teaching, layers of religion. You see, in this room, we have people who've had all sorts of life experiences, all sorts of church experiences, all sorts of religious experiences, such that when God comes with a new word for you, it's very difficult to hear the word sometimes because there's all these things that you've heard that block that. So if we were looking at this interaction between Jesus and this man through the lens of emotional intelligence, right, the ability to be sensitive to and understand other people's emotions, we would expect sympathy, empathy from Jesus. However, instead of saying, I'm so sorry for what you're going through, do you want me to help you get out of the pool or get into the pool? Instead of saying that, right? Because that's what somebody who's emotionally sensitive would do, right? You're thinking, what can I do to help you? Jesus goes straight to calling out of the man wholeness that he could see. He goes into calling out of the man the will of God, the Father. Because God the Father has a will for our lives. He has a purpose for our lives. So Jesus doesn't go into the emotion of it all. He goes straight to the point. The Bible says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I believe the Lord Jesus is constantly trying to show us that there is a misalignment between what's been established in heaven and what's happening on earth. And his job, through the Holy Spirit, is to cause alignment. So when we're going through things, we need to ask ourselves, what is the will of God for me around this particular thing? And am I aligned? Jesus comes in to bring alignment. So he says to the man, rise, take up their bed and walk. Take up their bed and walk. Jesus speaks a word of faith, calling those things that are not as though they are. And it says, immediately the man was made whole and took his bed and walked. Now I had to look at that passage again because I was thinking something's missing. We've gone from Jesus saying, rise up, take their bed and walk, and the man was immediately made whole. What just happened? He was made whole immediately after Jesus spoke a word. How? What happened between Jesus' words and the man being made whole? What happens between the time God speaks a word and us getting our breakthrough? And this is what I believe happened. I believe that the man heard a new thing. His faith ears were unblocked. He heard a new process. Because you see, until that point, what he had heard and received as truth was that you need to wait for the right season when the angel comes. You need to wait for your turn. You need someone to assist you to access healing. And then you need to be quick enough when the time is right. Because, hey, you snooze, you lose. That's what he had heard. Now, in this moment, he hears something transformational. That wholeness did not require any of that. He heard this Christ command him with authority to walk. He heard all you need is to hear the word and move. Because faith moves. It does not wait for perfect conditions. However, his previous experience required that he waits for the perfect conditions. He waits for the angel to come. He waits for someone to help him into the pool. He waits for the right time. I want to hone in on three aspects of wholeness that I believe we need to see in this passage. Number one, rise up. For this man and for all of us who are in a place of brokenness, God would say to us, rise up. The man needed to get up from his lowly state of shame, discouragement, and prepare for what was next. I shared once about how I once went to a conference in Melbourne, and at the time I was really going through these thoughts about my father not being in my life and, you know, the whole story. And during worship, I went down and I was on my knees. And the reason I was on my knees wasn't because I'm just this brilliant worshiper. I was on my knees because I was so desperate for a touch of God, because I felt so lost. And I was on my knees and I got this vision where the Lord Jesus was there and I was holding on to his ankle, once again demonstrating my desperation. And as I held on to his ankles, he motioned me to get up from my lowly position. And that's what God says to all of us. Get up. And he looked me straight in the eyes and said, I am your father. And I believe that that truth is so foundational to our understanding of the will of God for our lives and what God wants to do for us. He says, I am your father. So because I am your father, I get to say, get up. The second thing he says, pick up your mat. You know, mats are used for protection of whoever or whatever is on top of that mat or above it. You know, we have mats for wrestlers, for gymnasts, to protect them. The mat was that thing which had he had relied on to contain him, to protect him, to comfort him. And he had to remove it. He had to pick it up. This was a sign of a shifting in position, changing of gears, recalibration. He could not have risen and left the mat behind. He had to pick up the mat. I wonder what he did with that mat afterwards. Because you see, that mat was symbolic. It held his vulnerabilities. He needed it for 38 years. And now all of a sudden, he doesn't need it. It was part of his identity. Some of us have experienced victory with Christ, but we still carry on to our mats. We still walk around with them, just in case we might need them again. For some of us, our pain, our sufferings have become our identity. And we cannot bear to let it go, let them go. Because it's all we've known. There's comfort in that. But God would say, pick up your mat. But I don't believe he's saying pick up your mat so that you can carry and walk around with that mat for days and days, years and years. I don't think he took that mat and put it up as a monument. But some of us, that's what we do. The thing that held our vulnerabilities, we walk around with it and put it up so we can just look at it, so we can just remind ourselves. The third thing he says is walk. Now, I had to look up what the word walk means. It looks like it's obvious, right? But I had to go and see, what does walk mean? It says it's to move. Number one, at a regular pace. Now that makes sense, right? Move at a regular pace by lifting and setting down each foot in turn. Does this sound like walking? I think it sounds like walking. It means, when it says move, it means no more being inactive. No more being stagnant. No more being bound. This momentum. Jesus was calling him to operate differently. No more mat. No more begging people to access healing. No more shame. Only wholeness. See, Jesus is calling you and I to operate differently. You don't need that mat. You don't need to beg people for access. No more shame. Only wholeness. I'll get you to stand up. I want to read Matthew 11, 28 to 30. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus spoke a word and he still speaks a word. Our job is to receive it by faith so that we are free and made whole. We when we get the understanding of our position in God, then we live free. We live unburdened. We live blameless. We live guilt-free. We live with no condemnation. We live forgiven. So I just want us to, before the band plays, we're just going to have a time for prayer. But before we do that, I'll just get David to just play the last part. We've been around the aisles. Now we go to the sixth aisle.
Sixth aisle. In the sixth aisle, as I look for the good stuff, I realize I still have eyes to see and hands to feel. I love the fresh food aisle, you see, because there I am reminded that in spite of all the misery, in the midst of all the confusion, hope lives. Yes, I noticed that despite all the devastation that would sell us helplessness and hopelessness, there is a freshness that's arising. From the belly of the earth, from our children, I see hope. That although we have gone without and emptied ourselves of all laughter and joy, there is hope that is matchless. So I cannot tell you I'm dead. Maybe I could say I rested. I got tired, then I rested and never thought to get up again. But this man, this Christ, this God, this being, well, he came into my life and turned it upside down. So my hope, and yes, the hope of the children, has come slowly but assuredly from him and him alone. I have seen all the aisles and walked in one way, but I'm coming out another. Now that I know he is real, this Christ, this being, I leave these aisles full. I walked in empty and unfulfilled, but now I'm walking out with a bag full, full of all that he would say, take, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Come on, aisle people, I am here. Come, let's look in the bag and walk this thing together. Sixth aisle.
Amen. There is hope. So if any of the things that I spoke about really touch you specifically and you need prayer, please come up. There's an opportunity for prayer before, or while the band plays, actually, not before. Please go ahead. But yes, the altar is open for prayer. The leaders will be available to just pray as well. But I just want to finish off with this prayer before people come up. Father, or as people come up, Lord, we thank you that you are a compassionate God. We thank you for the heart of the Father. For the children. We thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you that you want our brokenness so we can have wholeness. I pray, Father, for anyone here who feels broken, who feels scattered, who feels confused, lost, fearful, unsure, overwhelmed, depressed. I pray, Father, that they would hand over that brokenness. I pray, Father, that their ears would be open to hear your word that says, rise up, take up your mat, and walk. That, Father, we don't need any other conditions to be fulfilled because you did it all at the cross. God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you. We know that you wept. You wept for Lazarus because you feel for us. You love us. You have compassion. This morning, Lord, I pray that every heart that is broken would feel compassion from you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In the crashing, in the pressing, you are making new one. In the soil, I now surrender.